this is choices. They're difficult. A DCU's Batman Comics First fanfic, written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. With amazing cover art by the incredibly talented Forzandopod, who found, seriously, the most perplexed-looking Tim Drake for the cover. I love it so much! It's so great! The story is rated PG-13 and is gen, with mention of the relationships Tim Drake-Roy Harper, Tim Drake-Jason Todd, and Tim Drake-Roy Harper-Jason Todd. With additional tags for alternate universe, no superpowers, obliviousness, Tim Drake is bad at flirting. Author's notes. I don't intend on continuing this or anything. It's just a standalone. You can make up your own ending or whatever. I don't really care. I'm just really, really, really having some trouble writing anything. Roy Harper is a better life choice and decision than Jason Todd. It's good for the company, generates better press, and gives you much more of a natural advantage. Your personalities are more compatible, and I believe that he will be easier for you to bring to heel. Aesthetically, he's also better looking. I also checked with 3 psychics, 14 matchmakers, and no less than 50 different people of the media. He's a good match. Tim stares at his mother as she rattles off points. Complete with PowerPoint presentation. With statistics. As much as I love your statistics, and Tim does, there is some drool-worthy math going on here. I don't see why you're talking about me and Roy and Jason like I'm going to marry one of them someday. I'm talking about it because there's a high statistical probability you will. Mom taps her finger on her arm for a moment before she concedes. My first presentation was about you and the Luther boy, but that didn't work out as I thought it would, and these 2 idiots are the only options left. Mom, Tim says, mind reeling because dating Carter would be like dating his brother. Gross. I'm not gay. She stares at him, blinks, looks at the PowerPoint, then at Dad, who's been sitting next to Tim the entire time, with this peculiar expression on his face, then back to Tim. Then she looks at Dad, makes a vague gesture, and snaps, "Deal with this!" Then she collects her laptop and goes off to do whatever it is Mom doesn't do when she isn't brutally crushing lesser mortals' souls. Dad just pats Tim's arm and says, "Trust your mom, son. She knows what she's doing." Tim just stares and wonders what the hell is going on with his parents. "Why," Tim says, as soon as Connor picks up the phone, "why does everyone think I'm gay? I'm fairly certain that I'm not gay, but sexuality is fluid, and I think 18 is a little young to be completely certain, so maybe I am, maybe I'm not." Connor mumbles something along the lines of, "Why this? God, I am the best friend ever," before he says, "Because your first crush was on Dick Grayson. You turn into a puddle of starstruck wide eyes whenever you enter the same room as Ten Cord, and you openly admit to wanting to grate cheese off Jason Todd's abs." Point. But who doesn't want to grate cheese off Jason Todd's abs? I mean, have you seen those abs? I'm fairly sure that old conservative white Protestant men would want to grate cheese off those abs. "You basically describe my dad, except atheist." "Ugh, dude, not cool. Anyway, you're calling it ass in the morning to talk about your sexuality crisis?" "No," I'm calling because my mom is trying to set me up with Roy Harper and I don't know why. There is a full minute and 15 seconds of silence where Tim worries that the call dropped or that Connor fell asleep. It wouldn't be the first time. Because, Connor says, sounding incredibly strained and annoyed. Anyone with two functioning eyes and a fight or flight instinct knows that Roy Harper and Jason Todd have been fighting over you since you entered the picture at the tender age of 8 years old. You lie. That was my chubby stage. If anyone was fighting over me, it was to see if I was going to roll down a hill. Tim replies on reflex. Connor continues, as if Tim's interruption was nothing but the sounds of his cleaning service going on in the background. And the only reason your mom is giving you this talk now is because you turn 18 in 3 months, and all bets are off on which one gets their hand down your pants and tongue down your throat first. Jesus, Connor, way to paint a vivid picture. Are you aiming to become the next Picasso? Tim can hear the other teen's eye roll across the several states between them. Good night, Tim. Mom suggests that he go to the next party at Star City in her place. And by suggest, Tim means she drugs him, puts him on an airplane, and ships him off to Star City in under 3 hours and has an immaculately pressed suit waiting for him as soon as he regains consciousness, along with the note. If Ted Kord is there, try not to cry. Because she knows him well enough to know that he would turn on her in an instant if it meant an internship at Kord Industries. And because Tim is a good son, he puts on the suit and goes to the party. Ted Kord is not there, but Tim has to do a spit take because Jason Todd is. And Jason Todd is making a beeline straight for him. This is the part where Connor would elbow Tim in the ribs and hiss, "Breathe, dude, you're gonna spaz out and hit me in the face if you don't breathe." But Connor isn't here. Connor is currently in Metropolis, and he isn't leaving anytime soon because he did something to one of the limos that pissed Lex off like nothing else. Do you know who else is here? Roy Harper, who is coming in from the opposite direction, also making a beeline for Tim. Do you know who is not here? Tim! Because Tim is making a very determined, not quite sprint for the exit and ignoring everyone's looks of amusement. God, did everyone know but him? Tim is out the door and in the limo, squeaking out, "The hotel, please," just as he sees Jason Todd and Roy Harper start having a miniature Cold War where their beelines intersect at the doorway. It's not even 3 hours into Tim's 18th birthday, and Tim has gotten no less than 4 packages from Roy Harper, 5 from Jason Todd, plus invites to parties and their various places of residence, and dinner, and coffee, and his dad just throws his hands up into the air in a "what can you do" motion, and his mom just glares at everyone and everything in a manner that can only be labeled as sulky. Tim flinches when the doorbell rings, and the maid says, "Master Timothy, it's another package for you." "I'm going to Metropolis," Tim says, as he stares balefully at the small piles of presents. And maybe while I'm gone, this strange alternate reality will rearrange itself into something that makes sense. Though, when Tim goes to Metropolis, all Connor does is laugh, sling his arm around Tim's shoulders, and say, in the happiest voice Tim has heard ever, "Man, are you in for the most eye-opening few months of your life!" It's like the two are trying to one-up each other. Roy sends Tim roses, which Tim finds a bit trite. Jason sends Tim tulips, which is sweet. Roy sends Tim orchids, which is getting to be a little much. Jason sends Tim birds of paradise, which is what even? Then Roy sends Tim a tree. Jason sends Tim a CD. Roy sends Tim recordings of live music. Jason sends Tim a record from way back when. Roy sends Tim tickets to a concert. Jason sends Tim a live orchestra. And it doesn't help that wherever Tim is, every single public appearance, one of them is there. Like, Tim is out getting lunch with his parents, and suddenly, Jason Todd is there, smiling at Tim and exchanging pleasantries with Tim's parents, and not so subtly trying to open conversation with Tim. Or, Tim is getting coffee, and suddenly Roy Harper is there, also getting coffee. And just, it's ridiculous. Like, they're there at the clubs Tim goes to with his friends, and they're there at the parties Tim's mom makes him and his dad attend. And wherever they go, they dress like Greek gods. Tim admits to a smug Connor that, yes, maybe he's gay. Just a little bit. More homosexual than the typical male, at least. Ugh, Roy's shoulders. He knows how to dress to emphasize them. And his shoulders are just as great as Jason's thighs, and the pants he wears should be illegal. Whoever dresses them deserves to either be given an award or shot repeatedly. Tim makes a high-pitched sound of distress, grabs Connor's arm, makes a vague gesture in Jason Todd's direction. Jason Todd, who never actually wears the tie on his suit, leaves the top two buttons open and has thighs that could snap a grown man's neck. Then yanks Connor to the side to gesture to Roy Harper, who makes a suit look like pornography and has a jaw that begs to be licked or something obscene like that. Tim has always noticed these little things, but never really paid attention because, well, he didn't think he had a chance, really. And now that everyone has finally deemed it necessary to inform Tim of what he's been missing all these years, it's like the two have decided to take things to the next unbelievably attractive level. Connor just cackles, because he's an evil dick face like that. "Okay," Tim says, as he bursts into Connor's penthouse suite, because Tim is magic and Connor's best friend, and the one person in Connor's life that Lex doesn't vocally object to. "I need someone to explain to me, in terms that I can comprehend, what I did to get Jason Todd and Roy Harper vying for my attention." Connor looks up from where he's channel surfing, gives Tim a once-over, sighs, and asks, "Am I gonna have to break out some alcohol for this conversation? Or do you think you can handle this sober?" "I think you know me well enough to answer that question for me," Tim says, as he flops onto the leather sofa, squirming until he's nestled into the soft cushions, and starts nudging Connor with his foot. Also, did you tell Roy Harper that I have a thing for Teen Wolf? Because Roy Harper has been sending me Teen Wolf merchandise, and you swore you would take that to your grave, Con.
If it makes you feel any better, Connor says, as he squeezes Tim's ankle and changes the channel to BBCA.
I told Jason you have a thing for Jensen Ackles' butt, so that should even things out.
Tim makes a frustrated noise and flaily hand motions, to which Connor replies by raising the volume up on the television, patting Tim's foot and saying,
I know, buddy. I know.
So remember when you were 8 and kind of got a little round in the face and stuff?
You promised we'd never talk about this, Tim says, as they work their way through their third session of Mortal Kombat. On pain of death.
Yeah, but this is sort of important to understanding their weird and undying love for you, Tim.
Connor nudges Tim's ribs with his elbow and tries to push Tim off the sofa, because he's a cheating cheater who cheats.
Anyway, it was,
Shit, you little shit! Did you just fucking... God damn it!
Anyway, you were 8 and Jason was like 10, and I think Roy was 12, which kind of works out really well. And it was Connor's birthday.
I miss Connor,
Tim says, when Connor brings up their friend who is currently doing a retreat that involves no contact to the outside world.
I remember, it was like our first party together, right?
Yeah. Anyway, Connor was really nervous about so many people, and you went up to him, dragging me behind you, smiled at him, and wished him a happy birthday.
And you were, like, really sweet about it, too. How come you aren't that sweet to me?
Because you are an asshole, Tim says without hesitation. And Connor is like a baby bunny. You can't be mean to a baby bunny. Point is, Roy Harper and Jason Todd kind of have a soft spot for people who are nice to Connor, and that kind of tipped them off to you. That, and you have a killer smile. Like, bottle that stuff and sell it as a poison, man. You'd make a literal killing.
Ha ha! I am dying of laughter from your punny prowess.
Continue with your story as I continue to beat you into submission via video games.
Anyway, I think that's when they started to notice you, and they weren't exactly subtle about it.
Dude, even I figured it out when we were like, what, 9?
What? How?
Because Roy Harper tried to give you his cookies and Jason Todd tried to give you his brownies.
I've never talked to either of them in my life. Where the hell is this coming from?
Tried being the operative word, because every time they try to show affection towards you, they end up blocking each other and entering glare-offs. And by the time their awkward posturing is done, you've long hightailed it out of there.
How did I miss this? How?
Because you're Tim.
Connor shrugs. Like, that explains everything. And it probably does.
So, what are you going to do about this?
I honestly have no idea. Tim sets down the controller. But it's not like I really know either of them.
So, I mean, I don't know who's better for me. Like, what if I say no to one of them and it turns out that he is an asshat? I can't exactly go to the other and say, oops, my bad. I'm socially awkward, not ignorant.
Why don't you tell that to them?
Reject them both?
Tim blinks, because
that would work.
Or date them both,
Connor says, shrugging.
Not like two timing, but like, get to know them first. Test the waters. Be friends. Then work your way up from there.
Huh. Tim tilts his head. Squints. It's times like these that I truly believe that you are Lex Luthor's son. Your brain is fantastic.
I am the best friend ever. And someday when your mom figures out how to take over and enslave the human race,
you remind her that I'm the only reason why you haven't accidentally gotten yourself killed by now. The end. Reader's notes. So in my headcanon, obviously, Tim is super, super awkward about telling them that he wants to date them both. And at first, he's, like, setting up this whole massive spreadsheet of scheduling, and there's, like, an Outlook calendar where they can all input things. But then Jason and Roy start to cock-block each other by crashing each other's dates, and Tim has to rearrange the schedule so that they're just... He's sitting on one side of the table, and they're both sitting on the other side of the table at the same time, and he's like, you know what? Because they keep interrupting the dates and cock-blocking and messing up my schedule, I will just date them both at the same time in the same place, so they can't crash the dates. And it is super hilarious to Connor, who is just sitting off on the sideline, bucket of popcorn, enjoying the shit out of everything. Tim's mom is super frustrated because her spreadsheets were glorious. Why is Tim not paying attention to her spreadsheets? Tim's dad is just like, what is my life? And then Tim and Roy and Jason grow up to, you know, inherit their different businesses and then take over the world. And it's glorious and also slightly explosive because Jason Todd and Roy Harper. Oh, my God, Roy Harper. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Tim and Con and Roy and frustrated pining the Tim Drake who doesn't know how to flirt and all of that wonderfulness. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.